D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what popping in the field.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
I mean, they know what's popping in the field.
Say what?
Yeah. B's and B-boys. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Saints. B's and B-boys.
Uh-huh.
I love this podcast. I love this.
Que paso, America?
What?
I'm working in a new intro.
A new intro?
Yeah. See if it kind of fits.
Doesn't fit.
Doesn't work?
All right, sorry. Well, try again.
And it's a BS and Beer podcast.
Now it's a better one.
It's me and Tomas today.
Yes, sir.
He's taking the day off.
Yes, sir.
He's on the road. And you know what? Listen,
on the road
I didn't really talk to you about this. You know, I'm working on a project right now.
That's right.
So I've been pretty busy. And so the Pick'em League.
Mm-hmm.
The winner.
Yeah, who was the winner?
Still the winner.
Yeah.
Red Jim.
Yeah. But where are those words?
But Red Jim could not come up with. She obviously didn't listen to the show.
Well, I'm so sorry then. You know what that means.
Yep. You know, but she was not happy.
Well, I'm so sorry for her.
And here's the thing. So the first thing I did was like, hey, congratulations. You know, I sent her an email or whatever.
Yeah.
And I said, and she said, oh, were you serious about that money? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just give the show a call and give us the words. And she was like, she replied like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, the code words. She's like, I don't understand. I said, oh. And I kind of started realizing.
It's just a smidge of stuff that you have to give us.
Yeah, so she I started realizing she didn't listen to the show.
Yep.
So then I said, well, listen, the prize, and we made it perfectly clear.
We
want to reward the people who listen to the show.
That's correct.
And she was like, "Oh, well, I do. I'm listening to it right now." You know, she said. So then she called the hotline, and she gave like one word, and I'm like,
"One word?"
Yeah, I'm like, you know, there's a word for every week.
That's right.
She wasn't letting go though. No, I'm. She was throwing a fit.
So how many words did she come up with?
I think she may have come up with three.
Three? Not good enough.
No, not good enough.
If she came up with half or more, more than 50%, then it's okay.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like I'm not gonna hold people to that high standard.
Listen, if you need an enforcer, I'm the enforcer.
Yeah, he's the let them have it man. Tomas will put the smack down.
That's it, brother.
But then it got a little worse. Then it was I was a liar.
You a liar?
And I'm disappointed in you because you misled me. And I'm like,
she must be really a Falcons fan rather than a Saints fan.
Here's the thing. First of all, I am a little put. You know, I don't know. I'm not mad, but it's like listen. It's for the show. You obviously don't listen to the show,
but
you're going to sit here and beat me up and call me a liar because
we made it perfectly clear that in order to win, you had to come up with the words. I mean, we could be really harsh about it and say, you got to come up with all of them. But like I said, I'm happy if you come up with more than half.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's reasonable.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, so what I decided to do is split the winnings between the two second place guys. And here's the thing is that Lil Dice called in, and now we didn't have a show last week, and he gave his words. And the thing about it is, hell, Lil Dice calls in the show more than we had words.
Yeah,
so, it's obvious that he listens to the show.
Sure.
And the other guy is DTC All-Stars, who he called in, and he left the words.
Okay.
But then I emailed him and said, hey, what's your address? And he hasn't replied to me yet. So, but I think the fact that he did reply and he did have the words that I think I'm a wait on him.
Well,
but
he obviously
don't need the $50. Now, Lil Dice replied to me on Twitter.
Well, if he wants to give him $50, I mean, hey, you can pass it my way. No problem.
Yeah, it took me about a week to get it out to him. I just sent it out last night. And he said, I need to pay my rent.
Oh.
And I said, come on, Lil Dice.
He must be living way out in the boonies.
In the boonies, yeah.
There you go.
The boonies. Now, he actually lives in Arkansas.
In Arkansas?
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell him if you don't send me $25 of that money, I'm gonna send his email, his a mailing address out to everybody.
Well, you know, we'll just go with some pork ribs. I'd be okay because Arkansas is supposed to have some really nice.
Is that
ribs.
What they do up there?
Yeah, I think
yeah.
so.
All right. So
brisket,
anyway,
though, brisket's my favorite. So you know,
I have to concede, despite the fact that we had a little disagreement on how things work. She's still the winner. Red Jim, you're the winner of the Pick'em League.
There's no money for you.
But no money for you.
No money. Soup for you.
So Lil Dice and DTC All Stars.
Congratulations to the two of them. That's wonderful.
So they the check is in the mail.
There you go.
All right.
And we'll be doing it again next year, so pay attention to the show.
Absolutely. Next year, I think next year we're going to spread it out a little bit more. We'll do like first place gets so much, and then
first, second, and third. Yeah.
And then how many if you get a certain amount. Because, you know, the people who know they're out of it, because that really blows.
That's your money, brother. So, I mean,
if you get a certain amount of points in the playoffs, then you should get a little cut.
Now, next year, we're also going to have advertising coming up. I'm just letting people know right now. You know, you might, if you own a company, you know, a restaurant, something, hey, you know, this is good advertising. Our listenership keeps growing and growing and growing.
Yeah, it does.
So, you know, I already advertised my stuff on this podcast. So, I'm telling you, you know, this is the way to go. The best advertising you can do is on the radio and on a podcast. It gives you the best dividends. Forget about the newspaper. You know, the Times pick your nose. They're not going to get it for you, you know. So, you just move on from that. But anyway, I just want to let you know that we're going to be advertising because we need to get some revenue for ourselves here.
You know? Yeah, we're going to say all this talent, you got to pay for it. That ain't for free.
That's right, brother. That's right.
I don't know. I guess that's subjective, the talent thing. All right, well, it's obviously the off season. We got to talk about some free agents. I think we're going to talk about another position group. What position group? We talked about the linebackers and defensive line already.
Yeah, we didn't talk about offense. So let's go ahead and talk about
So we need to
offense.
Move to offense. So we'll start with the offensive line this week.
Sure, that's fine.
And we'll move on. We also have a hotline call. Lil Dice shot us a call.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, Lil Dice, we love him to death, but we need to get some more people on here.
Again.
Yeah.
Absolutely, my friends. Look, you know, we depend on your input. It gives us something to, you know, work against. So when you use that hotline, you know, It's real easy. If you're too busy to send us a text or an email, hey, just pick up the phone. What's that number again, Dave?
Let's see if I can remember.
504-383. Yeah.
What is it?
3369. There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Give us a call.
Pick up the phone.
It inspires and stimulates good conversation.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
So anyway, let's get this show rolling.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
Woodstock. That's it. Woodstock. All right. Woodstock. So we're sitting here trying to think of something, and neither one of us could come up with Woodstock. And then Tomas finally got on the internet and figured it out for us. All right. So speaking of Lil Dice, we got a hotline call. And this is how you inspire stimulating conversation. Let's see what he got to say.
Hey, this is Lil Dice. So at first, I didn't want to beat a dead horse. I thought about the show, and that's pretty much what you guys do every week.
That's kind of rough.
I'm really encouraged that Sean Payton agrees with me. And this is the second year in a row that he's agreed with me and we need to fix the pass rush. So I'm hoping that's what they go ahead and do in the draft. Now, just looking at free agency upcoming, I think it'll be way too expensive to try to fix that pass rush in free agency. So I hope we go the route of fixing it through the draft.
All right, so I don't know how to take that, beating a dead horse. Now, I don't know. I don't know if I don't know how I feel about that.
But I don't feel good about it, but go ahead.
But he'll get his.
Hurt my feelings, but that's all right.
Here's the thing. I don't know if we have two of probably the most expensive positions that we need to fill. Pass rusher, it's a highly paid position in NFL. and cornerback, another highly paid position in the NFL. And I get it, like, draft a guy that has a lot of potential, but one way or another, we're going to have to come up with some money for one of these two positions if we're going to fill them with someone who's a difference maker, who's someone who can improve the team. So, in a way, I agree with them, but in another way, there's too many positions that we need to fill. And so one way or another, we're going to either have to pay a pass rusher in free agency or a cornerback in free agency. I think that's what we have to do. So where
are
we
done?
Have to spend it. Yeah, I'm done. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry, my friend, Little Dice. First of all, you hurt my feelings. Tell me I'm beating a dead horse to death. All right? We're not like the other shows, brother, but that's okay. Maybe you're just getting confused. All right. Now, I'm going to say this to you. We're going to address the issue of the defensive line. We're going to address all of our issues. But I'm telling you, that's not going to be the first pick. Don't pay attention to what Sean Payton said. This is that deceptive move that he makes. He's talking about, we need a pass rusher. Oh, we need a pass rusher in the worst way. Oh, you know, that quarterback, Watson. Oh, he looks pretty good. I've already seen a couple of mock drafts that have us drafting Watson. Trading up to the fourth pick to get one.
What
morons are thinking this? I'm serious.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. A couple of them, yeah. You know? Well, morons. Look, I'm going to tell you right now what I've said before. Mark my word. Write it down. Our first draft pick is going to be as follows. When we pick at 11, if that young man from Alabama is still on the board, Foster, yeah, we're picking him. That'll be our first pick. I'm telling you right now, write it down. Carve it up in stone. That's what it's going to be. What's your favorite there? What's that again? The lead pipe?
Lead pipe block of the week.
There you go.
Lead pipe block of the offseason. Okay.
Now, we're going to address others. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's a little early yet. I'm not really ready to give you all my spiel there on the draft and so forth. And on free agency, I'm going to do that the next show, the free agency stuff, because the free agency comes up next week. But I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to be hard-pressed to keep Fairley. Okay? Because we really can't afford more than $6 to $7 million for a yearly contract for Fairley. We can't really afford more than, say, a 4-year deal for maybe like $28 million, you know, with about, you know, a little more than half of that guaranteed. And he's like, based on what's going on in the market, I mean, they're paying stupid amounts for bad players. So if I'm Fairley and I'm just looking for the money, he's probably going to get somewhere between $10 and $12 million from at least one team. So I don't see him being a Saint next year. I'm sorry. I wish I could say I did, but I don't. Instead, there are a couple of players out there, and again, I'm not going to tell you today, but there are a couple of players out there who I think will fit the $5 to $6 million range that we'll be able to get, plus the development of Onyemata and Davidson with our new line coach, I think will fill up that gap in the center. We'll still need an outside rusher, no doubt about that, but again, I think we'll address that rather than the inside. All right, so there's my
spiel on
that.
Well, you see, here's the thing. As I kind of agree with you, and the other day, because I think until this past week, I was kind of on the re-sign Fairley train, and I'm not saying I'm not anymore, but then I started thinking about it. I even had on my notes right here, 9 to 11 million it would take to re-sign Fairley, and that's just based on some
things I've said. I think 10 to 12. I think you're even low. Yeah.
So
I think it's 10 to 12.
I'm looking at it and saying, okay, you're going to re-sign a guy who played well, and you know, but you have players, including a first-round draft pick from last year, who play the same position.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be more wise to spend that, let's just, you know, between 9 and 12 million on a pass rusher or a linebacker on a position that you aren't deep at?
Yeah.
So unless he's willing, which I don't see any, you know, I'm not one of those Homer fans that think that every guy that plays for the Saints wants to give us that, you know, that hometown discount. That's
not
happening.
Not gonna happen.
He's gonna listen.
Especially because he played for next to nothing this last year.
Right, and he's been playing for next to nothing for.
I appreciate that. But the truth of the matter is,
he had to earn it. It's not like he did it because he likes us.
No,
he did it because
no.
Nobody.
But
gave him
we
the
gave
money.
Him a chance.
Yeah,
and it came through.
Sure.
Okay. Well, now he's proven himself to the rest of the league. So now he's in that market of the 10 to 12 million. Well, that's beyond us.
Right.
And like I said, like you said. If we didn't have Onyemata and we didn't have Davidson inside there, I'd say, well, we're kind of in a bad position. But I think we got two young kids who can do a job
right
on the inside. And then we really need to address the outside rush,
right,
which I think is what we're going to address during the free agency. Plus, there are a couple of lower end, 3 to 5 million people for the inside that we could fill in. So we could actually fill in two positions for what we're looking to pay, because you pay 7 to 8 for an outside and then another 3 or 4 for an inside. You're paying the same 10 to 12.
Right.
And you're getting two players instead of one.
And I've always been a proponent of quality over paying one guy. Like I wasn't as excited when we signed Bird as a lot of people were, because I'm like, man, that's just a lot of money.
That's too much money.
And give me two Rafael Bushes instead of
one.
And
again, like
Bird.
I said before, I truly believe that the NFL is set up that you have to build your team through the draft. You have to have men. Look what happened this year. You know, you have to have people in there in the second, third, maybe even their fourth year of their rookie contracts. That's how you build, with a couple of good veterans spread in there, you know, to help the younger kids. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And you go with that. And so that's the position that we're in right now. You know, when you look at our defense, Von Bell did a great job this year, considering he's just a freshman. He's just a first-year kid. Okay. Now, we had some injuries back there. We're going to come up with some defensive backs and some safeties that missed the season because of all the injuries we had. But those kids have been working out, and they observed what was going on. We got a new line coach. I mean, I really feel very positive that if we don't blow it all on one guy, we pick up two or three people in and then two or three in the draft, we're going to be just fine. You know, we'll be able to be competitive for the players.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're looking for.
Absolutely. I think that is what we're looking for.
This segment brought to you by BS and Beer Podcast. Twice the entertainment, half the calories.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Do you follow basketball at all?
Yeah.
I mean, now, and that's funny, both of them UK guys, Cousins, and now Anthony Davis and Cousins together. I don't follow pro basketball a whole bunch.
Plus they picked up the Ford on me. And they gave...
Sorry, didn't know I was on there. Yeah, sorry. I thought we were just talking in between you and me.
Casual conversation.
Yeah. No, they the Pelicans picked up Boogeyman, and I think it's a, you know, at first when I heard about the trade and how much the Pelicans gave up, I thought, my gosh, they lost their freaking minds. But when you started looking at it, you started thinking, okay, they're picking up a quality guy who is, you know, one of the top scorers in the league. And you already have the other top scorer in the league. So now you've got some real offense. And tough to run a defense against because Anthony Davis really is the size of a big guy in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's playing four.
Right.
You know, and then you've got
Cousins
playing the center. So, and the truth of the matter is that the kid that they picked up in the draft, he wasn't really doing all that good.
Did they trade their first round pick? The guy, because I heard some people talking about him, said he was a beast, he was a scorer.
Yeah,
so they
but
traded
he didn't
him.
Do anything when he was with the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. His game didn't sort of transfer over. Well,
I'll tell you what, I mean, you only have so many guys.
But they gave up three guys that have talent. But everybody is saying that, man, the Pelicans really made out like bandits on this deal.
You get a Cousins. I mean, all those other guys. I mean, unless you trade Anthony Davis for Cousins, then you say what?
Yeah, yeah. No, but they gave up Halliday.
I don't follow him enough. I was just when I saw that on my feed this morning, I was just like, holy.
Well, man. When I first heard the trade last night, I thought it was kind of a goofy trade, and I really didn't think that much of it. And then this morning, when I really got into it and started looking at exactly the details that were there for the trade, I thought to myself, man, you know, that's not a bad trade as far as the Pelicans are concerned. And they've interviewed a couple of people who've said, you know, we really think that they've done really good in picking up. You know, they're looking to definitely score now, you know, to do something,
right,
push towards a playoff for this season. I'm a little concerned simply because, you know, two big guys, okay, fine, but you still need people that can really push the ball.
Right, the backcourt and listen, I don't know enough about basketball, so I just kind of was.
They let go Buddy Hield, Langston Galloway, and Tariq Evans. And Tariq Evans, Buddy Hield was the first round draft pick we had this year. Plus, they gave up a first and a second round draft pick for the next draft. To me, the draft picks were the things that concerned me the most. You give up the three guys and one draft pick, I'm okay with. I think two draft picks, You know, because again, you still need draft players. You need to draft young kids to bring into the game. So, but overall, I thought it's a positive for the Pelicans, in my opinion. Sacramento just had enough of.
I guess again, I don't fall in that, and we'll move on from this because. All I was doing is just bringing up general conversation.
Yeah.
Was he a troublemaker or was he not
fitting
in? He had
a couple of things that he, you know, he was kind of a hothead on the court with the referees making calls. And they didn't, you know, the Sacramento Kings didn't really appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I know sometimes you can get tired of it. But anyway, earlier we were talking free agency. February 15th was the first day teams could designate a franchise player.
Right.
February 28th, the scouting combine. Then let's see, Wednesday, March 1st, deadline for teams to designate franchise and transition players. Then let's see, teams are on the 7th of March. Teams are allowed to contact and enter into contract negotiations.
Right.
And then. I guess the 9th, March 9th is the big day. That's when you know, we stay up until midnight to see who gets signed. Yeah, so looking forward to that. Because you had said something about next week, and I said, I thought it was several weeks down.
Well, I got my list I've been trying to put together of what I think we need. The offensive line, which we're going to talk about now. Free agents and defensive line free agents, which are the two areas I'm most concerned with. And so I've been trying to, you know, go through every team and seeing who they have who they had injured, who they have as backups, and you know, because a lot of times they'll bring in a new guy and they'll start him, and it doesn't necessarily mean that he's better than the old guy. And sometimes you can get a good deal that way. So I'm kind of looking at that from that perspective too, to see if we have any possibilities of people in that $2 to $4 million range for free agents and short contracts. So, or even less than that, veteran minimum.
Wow. All right, so on to the offensive line.
All right, go ahead, sir.
And you, I see you have your list in front of you.
I got my list in front of me. I told you not to throw it away, so I got it here.
So the Saints now, some of the things, okay, so we got Armstead at left tackle. You got Pete at left guard, Unger at center. Jari Evans had a solid season. And then the old-timer on the right side.
I said Brock just now.
Did you say Brock? Oh, Stan Brock? Going way back. In Streif. Streif is a guy that, I mean, and we've had this conversation. I'm worried about him in a sense that he's played really well, but he just seems like one of those guys who he could just fall off. I mean, I could see a fall off in his. Because the talent, when you're a super athlete, those guys, you can stay athletic until you're older. Now, you might get injured. Streif does not rely on athleticism. He's just a brute. And he lacks a certain amount of athleticism. And I have concerns that he can go from being a player, and as soon as we think our offensive line is solidified, then I could just see him start and I'm not saying it will. It's just something that concerns me.
Sure.
Evans is a guy that played pretty solid, and I wouldn't mind seeing him. Now, over to Pete, he didn't play very well on the right side. I'm still not ready to give up on him as the right tackle. Those kind of things take time. People don't appreciate how hard it is. We've used every analogy. Switch hitters, the best one that I can come up with, where, you know, just because you hit from the left side of the plate, your mechanics are completely different.
Yeah.
But I'm not willing to give up if he just keeps working on it to be a right tackle. Because, God, I just hate to see that we drafted a guy that early in the draft and he plays guard. Now, based on the injuries to Teron Armstead, then I can see that maybe you do need a guy that can play a lot of left tackle and be good at it. So from that perspective, like this year, for instance, he was really worth his weight in gold by the fact that he could play a solid guard, then go out and play really good at tackle. So, you know, I don't think it's a wasted talent, but you'd like to see Armstead say, hey, stay healthy, and then have Pete playing right tackle, at least from my perspective. Your thoughts? No?
Okay, well, I'm going to have to disagree.
Okay.
I'm going to say to you, look, as much as I feel that we need linebacking and defensive line help, I have to tell you that, to me, the iffiest part of this team is offensive line. And I would say to you, it's very tough. If, and it's a big if with a capital I and a capital F, if Armstead is healthy, and can play 16 games or 19 games, whatever we need him to play.
Right.
You know, that's great. Then we have a solid left tackle. The mess that they made, and I've read articles that people said, oh, they did a great job. They did a crappy job of how they dealt with Pete. You had him playing left guard, right tackle. I mean, every position but center. You know, and I'm like, you can't do that to a young kid. Let's remember this. He was a year younger than everybody else in the draft when we drafted him. He was really a junior when we drafted him. So you're still talking about a very, very young man. Big physical specimen, lots of ability, but you're talking about a young guy. Now you're messing with his head because just like you said, you know, I'm a switch hitter. I used to be in baseball my early life, you know, and it's completely different. From the right side, you swing the bat. From the left side, you think, oh, you're just swinging the bat. It's not true. And you know because you played semi-pro baseball. You know, your balance, your alignment, your open, how much you open, how much you close, where your toes point. I mean, there are all kinds of things as a switch hitter to be effective. Well, it's no different on the offensive line. Left hand down instead of right hand. Right hand down instead of left hand. Your point of balance, how much you lean back, which side you go to. I mean, there's all these kinds of things that take a long time to adjust. So you expected this kid to adjust the right guard in a week. Okay, now you got that. Now go to right tackle. Okay, now you got that. This kid was so screwed up in the head, it wasn't even funny. And you could see it. He wasn't getting beat because he physically could not do his job. He was getting beat because he was thinking so much about the technical aspect of it that he couldn't get his feet in the right place. Then you put him on the left side finally, where it's his natural position. Mm-hmm. And look how good he did at left tackle. I mean, he played outstanding at left tackle as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have a problem. What do you do with Pete? Well, is Armstead going to be 100%? Well, now you got that problem. So now you look at this team, and to my way of looking, you got two people who are solid players looking forward for next year. Unger at center, Streif at right tackle. That's it. Evans, like you and I have discussed before, as long as he's in a closed environment, he's good. Beyond that, he's not good anymore. Well, that's not helping us. You know, well, he's okay for backup, but he's not really good for starting anymore. I mean, truthfully, he's too much of a weakness. So you have no right guard. You have no left guard. You got a center and you got a right tackle. Can't depend on Armstead. So what are we going to do with Pete? I mean, it's a mess. Now you got Kelementi. You got Lito.
Do you?
Well, I'm just telling you, this is what we have on the team.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is that I don't trust either one of them to be an every down starter.
And again, this is why I go back to the Fairley deal. We cannot afford to pay Fairley $10 to $12 million because we have too many necessities. You look at the draft. There are a couple of guys, I mean, I'm still putting mine together. There are a couple of really good guards that we could probably get in the fourth or fifth round
sure. In
the draft. But they're kids who aren't going to be able to walk in and start. They're kids that are in the second year will be able to start. So now you still have an issue. Now, we have Turner from last year. Is he going to finally cut the mustard or not? Who the hell knows? We have so many unknowns on the offensive line. And without an offensive line that can block for Breeze, then we're in trouble. So to me, you know, I got all these guys on here. I think Jack Allen's going to make the team again. I think Jack Allen has a hell of a lot of talent. But I'm looking at him as the replacement for Unger next year. Not this year, but the following year. I think he will be the center. That we'll use when we're done with Unger. Okay. He's not a guard. He's not a tackle. He's too small to be a tackle. Okay. So now, okay, well, what do you have? Are you going to depend on Tony Hill? Are you serious? Not going to happen. So we have a real problem on the offensive line. Now, again, there are at least two players that I've already identified that I think we could pick up at the $2 to $3 million range in the free agency, who will definitely be an improvement over Lolito and Kelementi. I'd still keep Kelementi simply because he can play all three positions.
Sure. Yeah.
Center, guard, and tackle. So I would keep him. Lolito, thanks.
Yeah.
You know, time to move on.
We've seen enough of Lolito.
You know, so that's where, at this point, I think the offensive line is the biggest I don't know of this team for this next year.
Well, and I think that Breeze skill set hides a lot of deficiencies of the offensive line.
Absolutely.
And what you just pointed out, and then the thing you came up, you know what our center is, you know what our right tackle is. And I just got finished with my little speech, and I'm not super confident Again, I don't want to say that I'm not confident in Sharif. That's not fair. He's played really well.
Yeah.
I'm just, at some point, I just feel like he's going to hit a wall. And so with, and he has had injury issues throughout much of his last few years. No, not last year. Was a great season for him. But it's one of those things where the offensive line, I'm a little concerned about not only the starting aspect, but then some of the depth as well. You know, Jack Allen, he's going to be a backup. I mean, obviously Unger's just signed a contract last year, was it? Extension, I think this season. So he's going to be around for a while, but I think Unger's a well, I'm saying this based on more of hope because he didn't do extremely well in preseason, but I think that, you know, just like most rookies, he's undrafted. You got to give him a chance to develop, and I'm hopeful that he and from some of the stuff I've heard and saw, I expect him to develop into at least a solid backup. So now the question is, Where do you see, what kind of resources do you see the Saints spending on the offensive line? Is it a high free agent priority? Is it a high draft pick?
I think it's going to depend. I think it'll depend. We got three kids. We got Young, you got Turner, and you got Allen from last year. So those three kids, let's see how they work up during the offseason and how they come forward. Okay, one's a tackle. Young is a tackle. Allen is a center guard, but really a center.
Right.
And Turner is a guard. So we got one of each position. What I think is going to happen is this. It's going to depend on free agency. If we can pick up a couple of good prospective offensive linemen, like I said, in that $2 to $5 million range, then I think that in draft choices, we'll be looking fourth, fifth round. If we cannot, then I'm looking for draft choices in the third round. I think that it'll change a lot of the what's there as opposed to last year. You remember last year, one of the things that happened was that they had picked out a couple of offensive linemen, and they were going in the first two rounds. And so by the time we got to the third round, it's like, the rest of these guys aren't really third, fourth, or fifth rounders, so why we bother?
Right.
And this year, from what I've seen so far, and I haven't gotten through all of my draft analysis, but so far it looks kind of the same again. That you have a couple of really fine offensive linemen through about the end of the second round, and then there's a big drop-off from that point. So,
and we're not willing to – I don't think by necessity there's anybody that we would – I mean, you're not going to pick up a tackle in the first, second round.
No.
And I cannot imagine
– I don't see a guard either.
That a guard that they
the
would
The earliest
pick up.
I see them picking up a guard is third round. That's the earliest I see it. And it had to be somebody who fell that they thought should have been a second round.
Yeah.
You know, basically. So let's see how free agency goes first, and then we'll know a little bit more too by watching the combine. I mean, there's so much out there yet that I haven't seen.
Sure.
And you know, it's not like I have 20 hours a day to do film study.
Yeah.
You know, but from what I've seen so far, I really think the Saints are going to make a push for a couple of these people that I've seen that are sort of hiding in the bushes on some of these teams that are out there. There'll be free agents, and I think we'll pick up a few of those people. And then let's see how these three kids that we picked up last year, how they work out. But this, to me, is the biggest part of our team that we really have questions about is the offensive line.
Show me the money.
I'll be back.
Ever touch a black man's radio, boy?
Hello, my name's Forrest. Forrest Gump.
Come on, see, love you good. Boom, boom, long time.
Are you shook up? Are you nervous? Sir, I am, sir!
Diane ain't much of a living boy.
Don't judge me!
First rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
This is Sparta!
Shit just got real.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, so yesterday I was perusing the internet, and I came across a post, and the person was asking about Cordell Patterson, mm-hmm. Minnesota Vikings, yep. First-round draft pick. Yep. When he came out of college, I remember he was one of the few highly rated receivers. The knock on him was that he was extremely raw, and there were some insinuations that he wasn't the brightest guy and wasn't able to catch on to the offense. And it looks like that has pretty much come true. That he's not a guy that's a great route runner. Not a guy that can pick up the offense. He's Minnesota kind of uses him as you know, they kickoff returns and you know, as a, maybe a guy who spreads the field. but he hasn't developed into a top-notch player. But the Post basically brought up that he could solve our special teams problems, which, after reading a little bit more in depth, he's a kickoff returner and a pretty good one, but he doesn't return punts. But still, something that our special teams have been weak. And while he probably – well, I'm not going to say probably. The chances of him developing into a number one or two receiver is next to nothing. But we don't need a number two, one or two. But here's where I think he could add value is as a deep threat, because he's super athletic, he's fast, and he's a big guy. He's not going to be a one or two, so he's going to have to settle for a contract of a three or four kind of guy. He could come to the Saints. He could end up pushing Brandon Coleman off of the roster, end up being our kickoff returner, and a guy like, let's say, Devery Henderson, Robert Meacham guy. Because people say, well, he can't do this, he can't do that. Neither could Meacham or Henderson. They weren't very skilled at the intermediate routes. They were stretch the defense, big play guys. I know during the break we talked about it, and you're not a big fan of the idea.
Nope.
Let's hear your thoughts on it.
Well, I would just say this. I agree with you on what you said. He obviously has so many negatives. Not a good route runner. Slow to pick up an offensive velocity. And if that's the case, you know how complicated Peyton's offensive book is?
Yeah.
So that's not going to be good. And you're talking about he's going to be able to push Brandon Coleman out one a day, as we call him.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I don't think so. I don't think he'll push Coleman out simply because at least Coleman, every once in a while he gives you that, ooh, see, if he could only do that all the time. Whereas you're not going to get that from Cordell Patterson. And if he were able to do both punts and kickoffs with consistency, I'd say maybe.
Right, and the punt return
but
thing was
– yeah. And so, therefore, he's one-dimensional in that. He's only going to fill in one slot there. Then you're going to ask him to do a receiver slot where Coleman knows the playbook. He's been here enough years that even if Breeze doesn't have the most confidence in him, he at least knows he knows the playbook. So I would disagree with you. Now, you know, when you're looking at our wide receivers, here's a part of our team that I just don't see us – changing anything. You have Brandon Cooks. You want somebody to stretch the field? There's your man. I just was watching just a few days ago that long pass against the Oakland Raiders where he just tore down the field. You know? I mean, this kid has hands, knows the playbook, runs good routes, and he's got incredible speed.
Now, here's the question, though, is especially with how Brandon Cooks last season was a little dissatisfied with his role.
Well,
we don't really have another speed guy. I mean, Snead is not a speed guy, and Coleman's not really a downfield threat. So what if having Patterson on the field could open up Cooks to doing other things?
And what about if you draft somebody in a fourth or fifth round who's got a lot of speed?
And but we only have so many draft picks.
Well, I know. I'm just saying to you that there's a possibility, depending on how we do with free agency, as to where we're going to draft. You know? And so to me, I'm not concerned about it. We've got Cooks. Yeah, he was a bit of a prima donna. But, you know, that's gonna all work itself out once the passes come his way. What you have to understand is that Mike Thomas is going to improve. Mike Thomas is the number one receiver. I don't care what people say. He's the number one receiver. Cooks is the number two receiver. All right, Snead's the number three receiver. There you go. We have our three receivers. Now, Coleman comes in. He's the fourth guy. I have no problem with that. And we got a couple of guys that we've been holding back who are big and strong too, like Lampman, for example. And I can't remember the other guy's name with the hyphenated last name.
Yeah,
I can't think of his name now.
William something.
Yeah, whatever the hell his name is. And some of those guys are big enough to be tight end. Might even be our tight end, answer. But in any case, and really to me, that's the real question. To me, there's no question. It's nice for somebody to think about, you know, Cordell Patterson. Cordell Patterson has been a bust at the Vikings. And if he can't make it to the Vikings, he's sure as hell not going to make it.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I see what you're saying, but having said that, obviously you have to fill holes. I want to make sure we're not talking about paying him some large contract. We're talking about the guy is going to probably be, maybe a $2 million guy. He's going to be a backup. He's going to be a role player. And that's why I think that
maybe, and I can get your point, so I'm not completely disagreeing with you, because I'm not even saying that I think it's something we should do. I just thought it's pretty interesting, because let's not use Cordell Patterson. How about that? How about we just say, man, it'd be nice to get a receiver in here that could stretch the field with some speed,
yeah,
and can return punt.
Well, New York Giants just cut Cruz.
I heard about that. I mean, I don't know if – I mean, was it a salary cap? Was it a salary cap issue?
I have no idea.
Can he return punts and kickoffs?
I have no idea. Yes, he can. He can do punts and kickoffs.
Well, if that's the case
– And he's got speed.
More than anything
– And he's got experience.
If he does those two things, then, yeah, that would be somebody I want to consider, because I do believe that we need to improve our special teams.
I don't disagree with that, but I always go back to the same thing. The way the NFL is built today is not built for the veterans. You know, the way the NFL is built today is built for drafting wisely so that you have a second, third-year player who comes into his prime early on and you can do something with it. So to me, it's like, why are you going to dump $2 to $3 million on Cordell Patterson when a rookie contract is going to be less than that for 4 years?
I get you. Here's the reason. One is you have money that you have to spend, and B, you only have so many draft
picks. But if you have money to spend, my brother, you spend it on the offensive line, you spend it on the defensive line, suddenly you got no more money to spend.
Well, I mean, again,
I have to go to the priority.
It's all
wide receiver is not a priority. I told you when we talked about the top four, running back. I'm telling you, Sean Payton's looking, and I got my little list already together of running backs. I'll give somebody a hint. I think a steal in the draft is going to be the young kid from University of Louisiana Lafayette. Just giving you that heads up. But we'll see. You know, I really think that's what we're, you know, if, yes, we have money that we have to spend. Yes, finally, for the first time in I don't know how long, we actually have cap money to spend. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Where is our need? Need's not wide receiver. Our need is offensive line, defensive line, linebacker.
I get it. And I don't disagree with that. But you have to fill a roster out. And
at the end of
the day.
Guess what?
Guess what? You need a punt returner and a kick returner. And it wouldn't
I
hurt
still
the
think
team.
Lasko is an answer to part of that question.
Okay, maybe he can be the kickoff returner, right?
Okay, I still think that he's a possibility in answering part
I mean,
of that
and
question.
Right now, what do we have right now as a punt returner? We have, what's the kid, Murphy.
Murphy.
Yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't,
I have no faith
I wouldn't
in Murphy.
Trust him to carry to grab my groceries and carry it out to my car, much
I
less catch a punt. So,
I wouldn't either.
So it's something that, we have to at least give some consideration.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe that's the best way to put it. We'd be surprised to see the Saints bring in either another rookie that they feel can help them out as punt kickoff return, or even sign a guy that, again, veteran Cordell Patterson, who I was using earlier, not necessarily him, but he, you know, while he's a veteran, he's only like going to be what, maybe in his fifth. I know they didn't pick up his option, so he's going to be in his fifth year. So he's not an old guy.
Yeah, 27, 28.
At some point, you got to fill these holes, and I do believe as much as absolutely, we need linebackers, we need pass rush, we need offensive line.
But now
I'm
going to
say we need a cornerback.
I'm going to give you another part, okay? I believe that Peyton has learned his lesson, and I think he's only going to go after high-character people.
I hope so.
Cordell Patterson has a character.
That is true. That is true.
Okay, so I don't need to have any cancers back on my team. We got rid of all of those cancers. Let's keep the team clean. And in that being that, there are plenty of kids out there that will be cut that have 1 to 3 years of experience. Someone can return kickoff. Someone can run perfect. I think we can fill the roster up. I'm not concerned. My concern is first string offense, first string defense. That's my concern, you know. And I'm not going to totally disagree with Little Dice about defense wins championships. But I'm going to tell you, it takes three phases, as we saw New England against Atlanta. It takes three phases. You've got to have special teams. You have to have offense. You have to have defense. And on offense and defense, you need the line. And to me, my evaluation of this wonderful team of ours, the Saints, we need linebackers to do something on that defense that will really get us to the next level. And on offense, we need an offensive line. So to me, those are the two areas I'm looking at. If we have cap money that we have to spend, great, fantastic. Let's pick what we can. But as you and I talked about before, not one guy at the 10 to 12, the two guys at the 3 to 5.
Right. And I'm more of a fan of that anyway.
Yeah. So. You know, and I think that will help us tremendously. And then, based on our free agent signings, then we turn around and look. But Cordell Patterson, to me, is not a guy that I really am, hot to trot about on this team. Like I said, I much prefer Cruz than I would Cordell Patterson. Cruz runs real nice routes. He's used to the West Coast offense. He's obviously smart enough to learn the New York offense. So, to me, that's a better pick. You know, plus I like to dance the salsa. So
all right, so next week we kind of discuss this, and we're going to start with our free agency preview.
Yeah.
Kind of look at what's available, what the Saints' needs are, how that person would potentially fit into the system, and how much it might cost to get those guys in. So other than that, you have any final thoughts?
No, I think I'm looking forward to seeing what goes on with the free agency.
Absolutely,
and then
man.
We can make a decision about and also looking forward to the combine to see a couple of kids have been knocked out of the combine. So I'm kind of interested to see how that goes, too.
Well, this to me is this is the dead period, you know, after Super Bowl, before the combine starts, before the free agency starts. And so to Little Dice and his beat the dead horse, you come up here and try to talk for an hour when there's absolutely nothing going on. So we're doing the best we can.
That's right.
I
think we're doing pretty good considering we don't have a 25-point lead. So I just want to put that out there.
Anyway, for Heath Elson-San, who's not with us
today.
He got nothing anyway. Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.